How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. And today, to chat about the Collingwood Magpies, I'm joined by Jono. Jono, Magpies did a little bit better than the season before, but how did 2025 go for them?
Yeah, thanks, Mel. Look, I don't think that Collingwood get enough credit for how good their 2025 season was. You look at that 15th, you know, finish and 3 wins, 9 losses. It doesn't look great, but they really picked up across a number of areas. They were pretty competitive in close games against finalists like Carlton and Melbourne and Hawthorn in the front half of the season. And they also, they got thumped by North Melbourne by 45 points. But that first half, I'm pretty sure it was the closest anyone got in the first half until the Brisbane grand final at the end. So like, it's actually a really, really good start for them. They pulled together defensively really, really well. And they also managed really impressive wins against both of the New South Wales teams in Sydney and GWS. So I think there's a lot of positivity there. Eventually, the wheels did fall off. I think in round 7 and 8, they had a combined, you know, minus 102 point margin from a couple sides that they would hope to be pretty competitive against. But yeah, all in all, I think quite a positive season, particularly on the defensive front. But there is one incredibly damning stat that we've found here. You know, they may have found a new way to defend, but the rest of their game needs a lot of improvement. When it gets to round 1 this season on August 15th against the Richmond Tigers, it will mark day 1,630 since Collingwood has last kicked 50 points or more in a game of AFLW. You know, that trends back to season 6, which is now 5 seasons ago, and it's the longest current 50-plus drought of any team in the competition. No other team has failed to do it within the last 2 seasons. So going back 5-plus seasons compared to, you know, everyone else within the last two years is a little bit crazy.
Ouch. And that's not a 50-plus margin. That's a 50-plus score.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Wow. That is, yeah. I mean, Wooden Spooners did well to lift a little bit. And like you said, improving defense is a good way to start, but like, oh, there is headroom for the Magpies this season.
Yeah, absolutely. That forward line, you know, we talk about it being bereft of a few of those big marking targets. And sure, they've had some bad luck in recent seasons with injury, but yeah, definitely needed. And I guess fortunately, we're looking at some of the ins and outs this season.
Some
exactly. Yeah, this is the most of any team. They've had 11 players both come in and depart the side in the off season. I think it was, what, 6 players from the draft, you know, a few trades, a few delisted free agents. The list is quite extensive, really.
Yeah, that is huge. Do you want to run us through the most important ones or who we think might be most important?
Yeah, so I think we've probably got a few key draft picks coming in. So to start with, we've got Imogen Trengove, who was their number 8 pick in the draft. And then I expect we'll also a good chance to see some other draft picks like Amy Smith, who was pick 23, and Misha Barwin, pick 28. They're, you know, I think all three of them, you know, quite athletic, quite speedy, have some X factor about them. And then Joe Bamford, who was their pick 29 in the draft, is a bit of a sneaky chance for a ruck. She's with players like Frederick and Barnett sort of more, you know, marking targets and sort of having the option to flex around field, could be an interesting one to watch in that ruck position. In terms of the players coming in from other clubs, Ariana Hetherington has come in from North Melbourne, her third club now. And I think that's another tall timber, you know, option down front. Similar to Gemma Rigoni, who was delisted from Melbourne, I think she's another one who, you know, has definitely played all over the ground as a bit of a utility, but I'm expecting is a good chance to fit in as either a tall forward or a tall defender at Collingwood this season.
Yep, sounds like a lot of height coming in, which is needed.
Absolutely. On the delistings, I thought it was interesting. We're seeing a lot of midfielders being delisted. And I'm really thinking this is very targeted. Collingwood was one of those teams who's had so many midfielders run through in the past, and a lot of them just end up being pushed out into the forward line, which I think, you know, it does make them, you know, a lot of good pressure up forward, but you don't really have a lot of that X factor. So they've really struggled to find that avenue to goal. I think this is going to clear up a lot of space and let these players kind of go to clubs where they can excel a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. So to hear a little bit more about Collingwood, we had a fantastic chat with Ailey Runnels. Liam took that one, so let's throw over to that now.
Yes, that is right, everyone. I am absolutely ably joined today by Collingwood winger / inside midfielder, Ailey Runnels. Ailey, how are you this fine day?
I am good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
But look, the pleasure is all ours. How's your preseason going? Just as a nice little softball to start off with.
It's really good. Obviously, we're in the off season for a large chunk of the year, but to be honest, I think it's week 5, week 6. So this preseason is flying by. I think we've got pracky matches in 3 weeks. So yeah, it's tracking along nicely.
That is, yeah, it's certainly fascinating to hear from kind of all the different AFLW players about how different it is from even local footy, how long the AFLW off season is. Just wanted to kind of talk about how you've ended up at the Pies. You were playing in the VFLW team for University of Melbourne, which then became North Melbourne. You then drafted to Fremantle. In terms of coming to Collingwood, you've talked extensively about being a Collingwood fan. Is that, growing up, is that kind of what drew you there? Was there anything as well with Sam Wright, current coach, being a former North Melbourne assistant and player? Is there something specific that drew you to Collingwood when you moved across at the beginning of last year?
Yeah, like as you said, Collingwood's like massive in my family. So, you know, to play for the club that you supported all your life and all your childhood was pretty cool. But I think the biggest thing is coming back to Melbourne, being, you know, back around my family was a major pull. So, yeah, I'm really loving it.
Yeah, and so just kind of talking about last year, obviously it was a fair bit of, you know, regime change, shall we call it, at Collingwood, the arrival of Sam Wright. And there were definitely some great games, some excellent performance, none more so than the winner at Vic Park against the Swans and pushing future prelim finalist Melbourne right to the limit, also at Vic Park. How was the season from your perspective, having come across from Fremantle, who'd been a perennial kind of top eight team, to a much younger side in Collingwood? And what's the message kind of coming out of that season from the coaching staff, and what's the core message to build on for this year?
Yeah, I think like personally for me, it's always hard coming into a new team, probably a very young team, and being one of the senior leaders. And I think the way we probably played at Freo was very different to how we played last year at Collingwood. So it was kind of like changing my game, I guess, a little bit. Because I think probably early on, I didn't get the form that I quite wanted until later on in the season. And I think, looking at last year, we've spoken about it as a group. It happened, it's there, like it's in the rear view mirror. I think we can take a lot of learnings from it, but it's also something that we don't want to keep, I guess, rehashing. We want to look forward, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to this season.
Yeah, as are we. There's obviously a host of young talent, which I will get to. Don't worry, listeners. There's more than enough rookies to talk about. In terms of the specific things that Sam was talking about last year, it was about trying to, you know, build first on stoppage structure and from building out from the back. Is it that this season is, again, just building on those fundamental elements? Is there kind of a new core message coming out of the coaching staff this season?
Yeah, I think, yeah, we've definitely built a lot, I guess, on how we want to use the ball. I think last year, I think it was just kind of, you know, get it forward, kind of kick it on the boot type footy. And I think this year we really want to use the footy more, bring our teammates into the game. And that's, yeah, we've been working a lot on that at Collingwood for this pre-season. So, it's exciting.
Absolutely. And obviously one of the big moves last year was Tani White to that halfback spot, where I'd say she took to it like a duck to water, having been predominantly a midfielder. And so that was certainly exciting to watch. Obviously yourself, you know, having been a winger for a predominant portion of your career, you are both spending a lot of time concerned about how the ball's going to get to you from halfback, but then also have a vital role at stoppage. Are you feeling like there's going to be a difference in your role this year, noting that you were an inside midfielder for the final month of last season?
Yeah, I was. And, yeah, I really enjoyed the last month of footy. I think, like, transitionally I can run both ways really well. And I think Sam was saying we did lose quite a few players from the midfield. So to have me going to the midfield, I could, you know, get attackingly but also get defensively. It's something that I've tried to work on a lot this preseason is my inside mid craft. And obviously I'm probably a smaller player, so it's probably working out how I can, use levers, and I'm never going to outbody, you know, other players. For example, I played on, Ali McKenzie in that midfield from Richmond last year, and I think they got the better of me. So I think, trying to work a lot on that side of my game.
Yeah, I'll say you might be selling yourself slightly short. I feel like you might have had over 10 tackles in two of those four games that you were in the midfield. So I don't necessarily think you need to downplay your physical capabilities too much. Let's have a kind of a quick chat about that inside midfield group. You mentioned that a lot of players had moved out. Bree Davey, who'd been a mainstay in previous seasons, obviously wasn't playing, and then recruit Mattia Breed, who we've not seen in Pies colours yet, are both that bigger-bodied midfielder. Are they looking to be kind of in the midfield this season? Is that how they've been training in the preseason? Are we going to see, because both have also played hybrid midfield forward roles for, you know, Bree previous seasons at Collingwood and then Mattia at Hawthorn.
Yeah. I guess I just want to start by saying, like, yeah, having them back out at training has just been huge for us. I think they're you know, unreal footballers, but just also the leadership they bring on track, I think it's going to change the way we look a lot. As you said, like, they're both really good inside mids, but they also can play forward. They also can play back. So, you know, having that adaptability with the team this year, you know, if we make a few swings, as I said, it's really exciting, and it's not just going to mean we just have, you know, some players that just play midfield. We'll have different looks both ends of the field.
Yeah, and it wasn't like you guys were immune to making that mid-forward switch even without Bree and Mattia. Ruby Slicer going to full forward was a bit of a surprise given, you know, she'd previously been an All-Australian defender, but it did definitely work getting some marks forward. Is it going to be a case of there being about four mid forwards lining up to off half forward line each week at Collingwood, or is Ruby going to settle back in the midfield and those other two are rotating?
Yeah, I think I think it's an interesting one for the coaches. There's obviously a lot of good players who can play mid, who can play forward. So I think that'll be, you know, the luxury. Touch wood, we're all keeping fit this season. And it'll be, such a luxury to have quality players like them playing mid, playing forward. I guess that one's up to the coaches to see where we all best fit.
That's a very, very media-trained answer. That's very well done. I guess I can't go much longer without asking. We talk about mid-forwards. There's one name that I've not mentioned, and that is former number one draft pick Ash Centra, who was your second leading goal scorer last year, who... After a couple of quiet games to start, absolutely started to turn things up last year. What can we expect from her in 2026? We saw the glimpses of elite talent last year, albeit kind of hampered by some injury.
Yeah, it was obviously, a little bit like devastating when she went back in the back end of the year last year because she's such a quality player. But I think just having another preseason under her belt, and, you know, learning the patterns of a midfielder, a forward, and things like that. So she's another one who we only had for half the year last year. So you add in the likes of her, Bree, Mattia, like it all of a sudden changes a lot with how we want to play and what the team looks like. She's a very special talent and can't wait to see, because we see it every week at training, what she can do. Can't wait to see what, you know, everyone else sees.
So speaking of elite talent, we obviously saw it in a football sense, but then the Ash Sestra bounce was the viral trend from the beginning of last season. Is there anyone at the club who at the club recreated it best, or can anyone do it better than Ash? Because I know I was at my local footy training session and everyone was doing it. You could see Sam Mitchell was on the field at training down at Dingley. He was trying it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Like you even look over or there were videos of Nick Dacos trying to do it. So just I think the movement that created was unreal for not only Ash but AFLW in general.
Is there anyone, if you had to pick someone who isn't Ash to recreate it, is there someone that you can think of who's nailed it? Because I saw some shocking attempts.
Probably Nick Lucy Cronin. Struggling.
Interesting. Yeah, the right. Key defender, of course. Of course I would have picked Lucy Cronin.
The long limbs.
I guess that would be very helpful. Well, speaking of long limbs, obviously it was a fascinating little ruck grouping for the Pies last year with Sabs Frederick and Imogen Barnett. Basically playing, you know, about a 60-40 split between the pair of them. You've had another forward ruck in Ariana Hetherington rock up from North Melbourne this year, continuing the North Melbourne flavour. Are we going to see a similar split in the ruck again this season? I note as well that one of your draftees, whose name sadly escapes me right now, was also a bit of a ruck hybrid. Are we going to be expecting a similar kind of ruck split between Imogen and Sabs this year, or is there a different flavour you expect?
I think so. I think as well, though, the different ruck rules and, you know, like centre square bounce. I know that Barney's obviously very strong, has a good leap and moves around the ground well. And then Sabsy's, you know, wherever you want it, she puts it on your chest. So to be honest, I actually don't do a lot of work with the rucks. They go off and do their little thing over on the side and we just tell them where we want it. But, yeah. I think it's also good, you know, we were pretty short last year and probably left a lot of it up to Sabsy, up to Barney, but this year they've drafted Zara Newirth, Josie Bamford, and then we've also got the two netballers that we'll talk about soon who can probably, you know, pinch hit.
We can ask that now. And to peel back the curtain slightly, there are so many new players at Collingwood. I did have to ask before the interview started, which are the ones that I could maybe ask questions about? So let's kind of have a quick chat about Olivia Lewis and Maisie Nankerville. Maisie had previously played as a bit of a ruck mobile defender hybrid, 176 centimetres, and then Liv Lewis is a genuine AFLW giant at 184 centimetres and a bit of a defender. Are they going to be playing that hybrid defensive ruck role and really helping to kind of increase the height, particularly in defence, where I think, as you said, it wasn't necessarily the tallest backs group at Collingwood last year?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the biggest thing with those two is that they're just such athletes. Like you see them in the gym, they're incredibly strong and they want to learn. And I think you can also see, especially with Maisie, just having that extra year, albeit like it was a few years ago, but you can see the footy knowledge and the footy skills come back. I think, the way that Maisie's really gone about preseason, you can just, I'm excited to watch her play. She's unfortunately just had a few, or she came back from an ankle reconstruction earlier in the preseason, so she's still building from that, but I can't wait to see her really let loose.
Yeah, it's always great to kind of see those like really tall kind of elite athletes. We've seen a bunch of them, you know, play that defensive hybrid ruck role, Talia Gillard being kind of the prototype, at least in my opinion. So fascinated to see them. And then, you know, of all the rookies that I kind of wanted to ask you about, Imogen Trengove, drafted out of South Australia, kind of captain of the under-18 South Australian team, All Australian, you know, Sample W Breakthrough Player Award winner, comes in with a rich awards list. How has she kind of gone integrating into the Pies team? Is she training in the midfield? Kind of what do you expect from her to start this year?
Yeah, I think just the way that Imi goes about it, she's fitting seamlessly. I think her work rate is probably, you know, the biggest thing that everyone's noticed about her, you know, all the GPS numbers, she's always at the top. So you can just see that work rate that she's got. And she's actually, I think she's studying biomed as well as AFLW. So she's a very smart girl. And, you can see that in her football.
Apparently.
She is, yeah. She needs to share it around.
Elite athlete, captaincy material, biomed, like leave some for the rest of us. Now that's elite. Yeah, and the honestly, the elite GPS numbers is always a great sign for those first year players, because that's obviously the biggest step up, bigger bodies, faster game coming across the AFLW. So we're definitely going to be extremely excited to see her this year. In terms of the forward line, we've kind of already talked about all of the different options. If you had to kind of pick one player that you expected to kick the most goals for the Pies this year, who would it be? Noting that last year it was Kingi Howarth with 7 and then Ash Central with 6.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Ruby. No, like I think no matter if she plays forward or if she plays mid, she's just like the way she leads out. She's unreal to watch, and I can't wait to see what she does this season.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And I've got one kind of final question for, your position this year. Game one, round one, where are you lining up?
Oh, that's a hard one. I've had quite a few chats with the coaches, and I think, I hope it's inside mid. I think I enjoy the patterns of an inside mid, and I've gone to work on a lot of things this off season and this preseason. So see how we go.
That will be very exciting. Cannot wait to see more of that high tackle effort in the midfield. So nearly done with this interview. I've got a couple of rapid fire questions for you. And as always, the breakout player. But first, what was the more exciting moment, getting drafted or meeting your self-described footy idols, Steele Sidebottom and Dane Swan?
Getting traded.
That is very. I was hoping that might be a difficult one. What was more difficult, doing your first AFLW preseason and first AFLW time trial for the Dockers after having spent 2 weeks in hotel quarantine, or a standard game of backyard footy against your 5 brothers?
We'll go the time trial. When you have to run along the likes of Kiara Bowers, it's pretty tough out there.
Particularly after you're only running for 2 weeks, having been in a Fremantle supplied treadmill in hotel quarantine. That I heard that and I like genuinely felt like my stomach dropped. That sounded dreadful. A slightly longer one here, but I very much enjoyed doing a bit of research about your kind of career to date. You started off playing junior footy in the navy and white of the Yarrawonga Pigeons. You then played 3 seasons in the blue and white at North Melbourne's VFLW team. You were then drafted and you played 4 seasons at the Dockers in purple and white. You've now moved across to the black and white. Going on this pattern, does that mean after 5 seasons of playing in the black and white, you'll be moving across to either Sydney in red and white or Geelong in blue and white again in 2030?
Nah, definitely not. I love the Pies and, it's black and white from here on in.
I had a feeling that might have been the answer, given that you had to over drafted versus Steele and Dane Swan was a genuine difficult question to answer. And as always, the final question, if you had to pick a player who will break out this year that we need to keep an eye on at the Pies, who is it?
I'm going to say break back out, Bree Davey.
Ooh, that is an amazing call to hear. Ellie, it has been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thanks so much. We wish you all the best for this season.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was a great chat as always. Thank you for that one, Liam. Jono, what were your key insights, you reckon, from that interview?
Yeah, I thought it was, it's always interesting to me. It's the second interview we've had, so far this preseason, the other being Lily Mithen, where these players are so competitive, where they look at, improvement from the previous season and they're so down about it, where I'm like, there's some really positive signs going on. So, but I guess that's what it is like when you come from such a strong side like Fremantle, and then you come in, you're expected to be this leader at a new club. It's just a little interesting to hear. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, well, that. And then also just hearing the little laughs between the two, because Liam had to be prepped ahead of time, it sounds like, of which of the 12 new players to talk about. And then ended up picking the cross-coders. But, with just so many new faces coming in at Collingwood this season, there's going to be a lot of debut potential. So I think that makes Collingwood a very interesting club.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I did love Bree Davies' break back out. Picking Bree Davies as the player to watch is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. As if people don't know what Bree Davies is capable of after 11 seasons now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Love to see it though. Well, I guess that brings us in to our top five fantasy picks. Lots of options here. Who have you chosen to start with?
Yeah. So first up, I think it's a player that I'm really, really keen to see again after missing all of 2025, and that's Mattea Breed, who is coming across from the Hawks basically as a new recruit. It actually happened at the end of 2024, but you know, this is the first season we're going to see her on the field. She was unfortunately hampered by a knee surgery that she had after she departed the Hawks. And also in that last season at the Hawks, I think it was giving her a bit of trouble. And it did mean that she had to miss the whole season. But prior to that, we had seen her as this young developing midfielder. And her ability to break the lines is one of the best in the games. I think if I had to make a comparison across the league, we're looking at a Montana Ham type of running power with that strength that she's got through her core. Yeah. In her last season at the Hawks, I think she pushed up her average by about 30 points to reach 56.8 in that season. But she showed that she's got a bit of a ceiling. So in that round 5 game against Geelong, I don't know if you remember that game, but that was in, you know, perfect conditions down Geelong. And I think it was probably the most reminiscent that season of the types of games we're seeing now with the more outside game. Mm. She had a 99 in that round. So I think her game style really, really suits the way the game is moving. And I'm really hoping, you know, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, that we can see her jump her average even more. And that's even before considering that she's discounted because of missing last season.
Yeah. I absolutely love it. Mattea Breed's got these three different factors going for her. The fact that she's going to be discounted after missing a season. The fact that her game style suits the movement that the game is going towards. And the fact that she's got that fantastic ceiling. Like that game against Geelong, 10 kicks, 10 hand passes, 10 tackles. Like phenomenal effort all across the board. And to have that ceiling that's like 40 points above her 2024 average is looking pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, massive.
I think she's one of the midfielders that they've made space for, essentially. I mean, I guess the real question at Collingwood is who will we see predominantly in the midfield? Because I'm sure we'll see a lot of faces, but I feel like Mattea Breed is likely to be a repeat offender.
Yeah, absolutely. I think trying to figure out that midfield mix is going to be a key watch this preseason. And I guess that brings us to our number two pick, who's also someone that we're going to be watching for midfield time. And that is, look, probably disrespectful to put her at pick two, because this is former pick one, Ash Sentra. last season, you know, highly touted. You don't get a higher junior reputation than what Ash Sentra was doing. A bit of a slow build. So we're going to look at this season in three parts, is the way that I've put this. So she was coming off a calf concern that she carried through the preseason. And early in the season, they weren't quite sure how to use her, and she was thrown around the ground a fair bit. Probably spent more of her time in the midfield than at other parts of the season. But across her first four games, she averaged 38.5, scores of 22, 51, 48, and 33. And that was against some pretty tough opposition as well. But it was the next four rounds between rounds 5 and 8 that I think we saw a much better reflection of what Ash Sentra can be, I guess. So she ended up settling in a bit of a high half forward role, pinch hitting in the middle, probably getting like 20% CBAs. And in that time, she averaged 80.75. So, you know, 42 points more than what we were seeing early in the season. And that's the ceiling, that's the talent. She was impacting on the scoreboard. She was, you know, her score involvements were fantastic. And Collingwood were winning. So I think that's everything you would want to see. And then in just before round 9, she had some calf tightness at training, so she ended up missing a game, and then that developed into bone stress in her shin. She was managed for the remainder of the season. So we didn't get to see her in those last four games. And this leaves her in a really interesting spot. She's priced just below 60, and I sort of see only upside from here, because if she plays the same half-forward role that we saw last season, we know there's at least 20 points of upside on top of that. And if she plays midfield predominantly, I can only think that would be good. I mean, nearly every player gets better with midfield time. So I think this is going to be a really, really interesting season. And yeah, I'm keen for Ash Centra to excel, really.
Yeah, this is a really exciting club for this club review because we've got two young, exciting picks in the midfield, probably mid-forward, averaging just below 60 that have just huge headroom. I like you mentioned, the upside on whether her role is midfield or forward or kind of a rotation of both is great. And we saw last season she was playing like 90% time on ground, so she's got the fitness, she's got the impact. It's just, you know, an injury-free season and another pre-season can do this wonders for Ash Centra for her fantasy scoring. And I think of those players that are likely to... Well, maybe I'll ask this as a question, Jono. Who do you think we're most likely to see rotate through the midfield out of the long list at Collingwood?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I don't have a firm answer. But if I had to guess, I would say that we're seeing Mattea Breed, we're seeing Britt Bonici and Bree Davey as the main three. And then, you know, one step behind that, I think Centra is going to be part of that rotation. I think Ellie Runnels is going to be a part of that rotation. And there'll be a smattering of other people. I think Collingwood would like to have a high rotation. So
yeah.
I don't think she's going to be one of the main three, but I think she'll be next up, like fourth through the mids is my guess this season.
Yeah. And I think that gives her enough headroom to make her a great pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess since we're on the rest of that midfield rotation, we may as well jump on to pick three, which is Bree Davey, who, as we heard in the interview, has had back-to-back interrupted seasons and is now ready to re-break out in 2026. So she played no games last season and only the five in 2024, some of which were, you know, injury affected. You know, I don't know if you remember that game, which I think we were at together, where she did her ankle and absolutely ruined the first of our bye rounds and just threw out the whole season altogether as our captain. But
yes,
Bree Davey, we know, is a high quality footballer. You know, if we look back to previous seasons before those injuries happened, in 2023, she averaged 89. 2021, I think, was her best season, where she averaged just a smidge below 95. I think she's an absolute star of the game. And has a ceiling up there with a lot of high quality players. And I also want to put in context, averaging 95 in 2021 is like averaging 105 now. You know, the game is going up. Not just in terms of like average points scored, the game's longer. You know, there's so many changes from back then. The real question to me is, on the one hand, how much midfield time is she going to get? I imagine it's very, very challenging rebuilding your tank to be able to run out a full game when you've had to stay off your ankle for 2 years. You know, that's a real challenge. And the other one is, how cleared up are those ankle troubles? Because if it's something that's only cleared up recently, you know, it's probably more likely we'll see her playing majority forward minutes. But from the sounds of it, she's been training a lot this preseason. So maybe we could be seeing majority midfield.
Yeah, well, we're going into a breakout season, so I'm hoping there's a lot of midfield action. Yeah, the point on season five is so right. I was getting excited by the fact that, like, in that season she had four scores over 100 and two over 120, and I was like, this is great. And I was like, in less time.
This
is a fantastic comparison ceiling. Yeah, I mean, it does have those risk factors, but I think it's a watch and wait for the preseason on the fitness and the I'd probably, for myself, want to see a couple of games with no injury concerns, no kind of ankle tests. But yeah, another good option at Collingwood. Mm. Shall we move out of the midfield for a moment?
Yes. Absolutely, we should. And I think what a player to do it with than a player who moved out of the midfield in 2025 and into the defence. Our pick four is Tahnee White. So Tahnee was one of, I think, the biggest improvers in 2025 from the Collingwood list. In 2024, we'd seen her in the midfield. She moved to be more of a distributor in that defense for the Pies. And she ended up being named in the All-Australian squad. So clearly did very, very well in the role. She had done this a little bit previously, I think at the Saints, but she'd never done it with this sort of ceiling, this sort of consistency. So she averaged 81. And really flourished in the tougher matchups. So her biggest scores for the season, you know, were against North Melbourne. She had 120 The Sydney and Hawthorn games, she turned up, and West Coast was an 87. So I think it's those games where the ball is spending more time down back. Obviously, your defenders are going to do a little bit better. And yeah, I think it sort of depends how you see Collingwood this year. I think they've got a lot of change coming in their squad, so it's going to be a hard one to predict. But unless they can fix up those, you know, forward, those entries forward so they can score more, and their midfield was a big problem last season. I think they were definitely losing the clearance battle. So it depends how much we see all of these returning players fixing that. But if we're expecting, you know, maybe slight growth and not like a massive jump into the top eight, then I would expect Tahni White is going to be a fantastic defensive option yet again. I suppose the reason she's only number four on the list is because I'm reasonably confident she's going to be somewhere in that top five defender mix. I'm struggling to see immediate upside to starting her. That's the challenge, I think. We'd probably be looking for, you know, growth in the role. Having had one season under her belt, does she get a little more comfortable in it? I don't really see too many other players in the side that are going to take that spot off her. So, you know, not too much of a risk there, but you never know. You never know. It's off seasons are quite long in the AFLW, so anything can happen.
Yeah, it's funny. There's so many pros and cons against Tahni White. Like, I was doing my research and I came up with a few on each side, and then I looked at your notes and I was like, we're in sync here. I think that it's because she'll be moving to defensive status. She will be, you know, top 10, maybe top 5 even, starting the season of defenders. So in one way, that's great. But in the other way, it's like, well, where's that headroom going to come from if you're paying up for a top price defender? I think she'll be one that we talk about quite a bit during the season, especially in Sweet 16s. I expect she'll kind of be staying there, and it might be more of a timing piece, but because that headroom is just questionable. But like, just for her last season's performance alone, like, led fifth highest in the league for intercepts last year, second highest at Collingwood for disposals, just really phenomenal season and big kind of lock in the role as well. So with a rotating team and a young team, a lot of new, fresh talent coming through, I feel like Tahni White will keep a prominent role at Collingwood, and I think that'll allow her scoring consistency. But yeah, maybe not the juicy upside that we've had in the first couple.
Yeah, yeah. But I definitely a player worth keeping tabs on.
Yeah.
And then I guess this brings us to pick number five. Now, because Collingwood's had so many players coming in, I would have to think that one of them is going to come in and impress. And I've been trying to figure out who on earth that's going to be, because there's so many different options, and until we see it in the preseason, we don't really know. But based on the interview that we've just heard with Ellie Runnels, and, you know, some of the numbers we've seen at the junior level, it sounds like Imogen Trengove is one that I think is likely to debut early, and who could, you know, really be a handy fantasy pick at the same time. It's got the dual benefit there. So we've talked about who's going to try and impact up forward. I think Trengove is very, very fast, and can sort of do that outside run, which I think Collingwood probably has lacked a little bit in recent seasons. As a junior, she was captain of the Sandford W side that she played in, and can kind of be thrown all over the ground. So I think it's a very, very handy player to have. Playing in the Sandford W, she averaged the 66 fantasy points, which was, you know, from about 16 disposals, nearly 5 tackles a game. And at the AFLW Under 18 Championships, so this is playing more against, you know, girls of her own age and size, that was the 93 fantasy point average, averaging 25 Oof. Disposals, 3.3 clearances and a goal a game. So very, very handy numbers there. Also, she went at pick 8, but she kind of had some injuries towards the back half of last season, which I think probably would have lowered her overall draft number. You know, if these players aren't getting regular minutes, the scouts aren't watching them. So I think we could have seen a bit of a slide, and Collingwood's picked up a very, very handy player here.
Yeah, I love reading about her elite running, because Collingwood were second lowest for metres gained last season, and they can use some runners. Mm. So I'm hoping that's a good boost for her. Yeah, I think it's a fair shout. And the most informed pick out of the long list. So I look forward to it coming true.
Yeah, yeah. Fingers crossed. There's so many different players coming in. So it could be any of them. And definitely a team to be watching closely in the preseason for that reason. But Mel, I think we're due now for the host special. Who have you got for us?
Yeah, I've gone back into known territory. I've gone, oh, look at those 12 new players. I'm going to shuffle back into someone that I've been keen on in the past. And that is Ruby Slicer, friend of the pod, OG friend of the pod, actually, averaging 68 last season. She's been someone that has come up as fantasy relevancy for the last 5 years at least, largely previously because of her halfback role. But with her move to the midfield, we did see a decent size jump in her average, up from like below 60. So I'm hoping that with Matea and Davey coming back in this season, I hope that that gives Ruby a bit more potential to like continue to have some of those midfield rotations, but also move forward a bit. And we heard that she's, you know, from the interview, most likely to be Collingwood leading goal kicker, which would be fantastic. And we do love to see a bit of transition over the field. And yeah, in last season, she kicked 3 goals, which coincided with scores of 78 against Gold Coast, 45 against St Kilda. We'll just ignore that one. And then 106 against Hawthorn. So, you know, that playing a bit further forward seems to be good for her fantasy scores. I think Ruby is an elite athlete and is fantastic in any role she plays. And yeah, I just think she'll be popping up a little bit further into our fantasy relevancy again this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 92 average if we ignore that St Kilda game altogether. That's fantastic.
Yeah, just and that's what we always say. Ignore the scores that you don't want to be part of someone's average.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
You're always winning.
Yeah. No, I think it makes a lot of sense because, yeah, they've always had this glut of midfield options. And for whatever reason, I don't understand. They don't want her as that marking halfback anymore. So I think it's...
She was great.
She was fantastic. Like, yeah. But I think if they're trying to fix their forward woes, you get your best players in that part of the ground. And that is undoubtedly Ruby. So... I think that's a great shout by the Pies. And I suppose it sort of depends how much impact she can have up there. As a midfielder, what would you be hoping she would be averaging for you to be picking her?
Yeah, look, her price does put her fairly in the mid-price madness of the midfielders. Yeah. And coming in at 68, I'd be hoping for like, I don't know, 80?
Yeah, yeah, which is a number we've seen her average before, so very, very possible. But I think that's probably the line I'd be drawing too.
So, many exciting players at Collingwood. How good? Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want to read more about Collingwood, you can check out our Substack where we've got further analysis. Otherwise, we'll chat to you next time as we go through our next club preview. Chat to you later.
Bye.